If you have your Bibles, please turn to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. Are you fighting the good fight? Are you fighting the good fight? We'll begin reading in verse 10. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having your breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with prayer and supplications in the Spirit, watching thereunto with all preservation of supplication for all saints. And for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mysteries of the gospel. Let's open with a word of prayer. Dear Lord, thank you for this opportunity to share your word. Pray that you would speak through me this morning. I pray that we would be able to understand what you're teaching us here in this passage. In your name, amen. How are you fighting the good fight? Or are you fighting the good fight? The Christian life is a war zone, you could say. At times, things seem to be going fine and well, but other times, great trials come our way. The devil, Satan, and his demons are come about to give us a hard time through life. Wherever God's work is being accomplished, Satan is falling behind trying to destroy that great work that's happened. And we see that the Christian life is a battle. Paul knows very much about this. He's been chained to a Roman guard for a lot of his later life. He was under house arrest for 2 years. He was in Rome being arrested. So we see that Paul has gotten to know the Roman soldier very well. He's got to know his job. He's understanding their philosophy. And from Paul's knowledge of the Roman soldier, he now is going to take this as an illustration, and he's going to apply it to the Christian life. So today we're going to look, and we're going to see how the Roman soldier's occupation is compared to the Christian life. First, we have qualifications of being a soldier of Christ. There are qualifications for being a soldier of Christ. In verse 10, it says, "Finally, my brethren." The word brethren right there is referring to someone who has the same father. If you have asked Lord Jesus to come into your heart and to forgive you of your sin, the Lord is your father. And those that believe in like faith are called your brothers or sisters in Christ. So you are family. But one of the qualifications for being a soldier of the cross is that you must be saved. You must have accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. You see, you have to see your sin as God sees your sin. God looks down upon man. He sees our sin as wicked and perverse. God's holiness cannot tolerate our wicked and perverse sin. But God, in His gracious love, sent His only Son to this earth. He was born of a virgin. He came to this earth and He died on a cruel cross for my sins and your sins and the sins of the world. On the third day, He rose again. And today He lives with His Father in heaven and is preparing mansions for us in glory. But as God looks upon our sin, He sees that it is wicked. The only way that He can pardon us from this sin is by turning to Him, by turning to Jesus Christ and what He did on our cross. We have to view our sin as God views it, wicked and perverse, separating us from God. When we view our sin as that, we then have to go before God and repent of our sin. Repent means to turn around. It's a 180-degree turn. If I was walking down the road this way, if I were to repent of the direction I was going, I would turn around and walk this way. That's repent. And once you have the proper view of sin, you must repent of it and believe that Jesus Christ's death on the cross paid the price of our sin. And it covers our punishment or our penalty. If you do this, you have believed that Jesus Christ has come in, you have believed on Jesus Christ, and you are a saved person. Salvation comes by faith in Jesus Christ alone, not of works of any man. So one of the first qualifications that we see is, first, you must be a Christian to be in Christ's army. You must be a Christian, because he says in verse 10, "Finally, my brethren." But not only must you be a Christian, but one of the qualifications of a Christian soldier is that he must go to battle with God's strength. He must go to battle with God's strength. Let's continue reading in verse 10. "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might." Notice he didn't say, "I want you to go into war and I want you to use your strength." God didn't say that. God says, you're going to go into battle, and he says, be strong, who? In the Lord. He didn't list any person's name. He listed the Lord's name. You know what? If any one of us go into the battle, the Christian battle, on our own will, we are saved, but we go in on our own will, we're setting ourselves up for great defeat. Satan is a powerful foe in which we are in battle with. And if we do not have the Lord's strength with us, we're setting ourselves up for failure. So we see that we must go into the battle with the strength, with God's strength. The Lord has called us to go into the battle, but you know what? God has given us the strength to go through it. God, whatever God calls his children to do, it may be hard, but God will be there. And he will help his child through. He will give him what his child needs to make it through the war. So you must know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior to be in Christ's army. To be able to see, to be a victorious person in Christ's army, you must also allow the strength of God to help empower you as you fight Satan. But thirdly, not only do you need to know Christ as your Savior, not only do you need to go to battle with God's strength, but you need to go into God's battle with his whole, with the whole armor of God. You need to go into battle with the whole armor of God. Look in verse 11. "Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil." Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand the wiles of the devil. God has called us to be in this war of fighting against it. Once we are saved, we are battling this battle. But God has given us the strength to be able to win. Not only has God given us the strength to be able to win, but he has also given the equipment to win. Think about this. If I were to join the Marines, as I go and join the Marines, if I, first day of boot camp, if I'm responsible to come up with boots, a uniform, somewhere to stay, food and clothing, if this is all my responsibility, I've joined the Marines, if that's all my responsibility, a soldier's responsibility, how much time and effort is he going to actually be able to spend on going through boot camp? Learning the things that he has to know to, in order to make it in battle. You're not going to make it very far because you're going to be worrying about having all these things provided for you, trying to provide them yourselves. But that's not the way the military works. When you join the military, they give you the items that you need. They give you a helmet. They give you a gun. They give you a canteen. They give you the food that you need to eat. They give you a place to stay. And even so, in God's army, God has given you the vitals, the things that you need to be able to win. And God has given us his armor so that we can be equipped for the war. He's given us this armor so that we can withstand the attacks of Satan. This reminds me of a mission conference that we had back up in New Hampshire. I was able to hear of a missionary. His name was Mr. Champman. He and his wife were missionaries out in Africa. I can't remember the exact country. But they were missionaries in Africa. And one day, he and his wife were sitting in their hut. And as they were sitting there, they began to hear the village drums begin to beat. And as they heard the drums begin to beat, they began to pray. They did not know what this meant. It could mean many things, but they knew whatever it meant, it wasn't good. And Dr. Champman said, I'm gonna go down and see what's happening. He said to his wife, will you please stay here and pray until I get back? She said, okay. So she got on her knees and she began to pray for her husband. Dr. Champlin went ahead down into the village. And as they went to the village, the witch doctor was there, and they had a bunch of hot coals. There's a long row of them. And the witch doctor went over there, and he walked on the hot coals. He gets off the hot coals, and he shows his feet to everyone, and his feet weren't burnt at all. The whole village oohed and awed. They're like, wow, what power he has. Now, the witch doctor only received the power from the power that Satan had. And Dr. Champman knew that God was a God that was more powerful than Satan. And the witch doctor came and looked at him and said, you know what? My God is more powerful than your God. And Dr. Champman could not let this be said of his God. He said, well, if your God is more powerful than mine, the witch doctor says, then I want you to go ahead and walk on those rock hot coals. So Dr. Champman took off his shoes and he walked over those coals. His feet hurt. It hurt so bad as he walked over them. He walks over them all. Once he finished walking over them, they had him sit down to look at his feet. As they looked at his feet, there was not one burn mark on them. Because God is more powerful than Satan. God gives us the power, and he gives us also the armor that we need to withstand the battles that we may face. Now, we may not face a battle as far out as that today here in America, but we face different battles. We face battles of music that is listened to in the world today. We face the battle of taking a stand for that which is right, which the Lord has spoken for. We battle apostasy daily. Our battles might be different, but the Lord has given us what we need to be able to succeed when we come into a battle. Even as the Lord was able to help Dr. Champman prove that he had more power than Satan. So God has given us the armor that we need. And notice that the armor that God has given us is able to do something. In verse 11, put on the whole armor of God that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. It says right here that God's armor is going to be able to stand up against the things, the temptations and the troubles that Satan's going to be hurling at you. God's armor is going to be able to protect you from that. So we see here that we are to put this armor on. So first, what is the qualification for being a soldier of Christ? You must know Jesus as your personal Savior. You must go to battle with the Lord's strength and not on your own. You must go to battle with the whole armor of God. You know what? If you were to go into battle and you were to forget your gun, you'd say, that's a stupid soldier. He's opening himself up to get shot, to not make it through. And it's crazy for a Christian to go into the spiritual warfare, spiritual battle, and not have all the whole armor of God on. It's stupid. It's foolish. But so many times, we go into the workplace and we have our guard down. And as we go into the workplace with our guard down, Satan looks, he doesn't have his armor on. And whoosh, he'll throw a dart at you. Or he'll throw something your way that you're not ready for. And it's so much harder to stand against that when you don't have all of your armor on. It says, put on the whole armor of God, not just part of it. Because even when you do have your whole armor on, Satan's looking for that weak point that you have, and he's looking to throw his trial or his temptation towards your way to get you to fall, to get you to mess up. And we see here that it is very important that we go in God's strength, that we are God's child, and that we have the whole armor of God. When you have the whole armor of God, this allows you to stand firm. You are prepared. You know what? When there's an opponent fighting each other, an opponent that is prepared to fight the person that he has to fight, if he's ready, there's a whole lot better outcome, most likely, than someone who is attacked by surprise, who is ambushed. If you're ambushed, you're not ready to be attacked. And you are much more gullible or much more open to lose. And we see here that God has given us his armor. And when we wear his whole armor, when we are using the Lord's strength, we are able to be prepared to stand against the wiles of the devil. So we've seen the qualifications of a Christian soldier. Now that we know the qualifications, now let's look at our enemy. You need to know your enemy and able to be able to defend against your enemy. We'll bring it into the sports analogy. In college football, the Gators were playing for the title. The Gators were told that they were going to lose the game. This made the Florida Gators say, you know what, we're going to prove the media wrong. So they went and they studied their team, the team that they were going to be playing. They knew exactly each play, and they had a play to counteract that. They knew everything that they knew as much as they could of what the other team was going to throw their way. They had them studied. They knew everything about it so that they could be prepared to take it on and be able to defeat them. And because they put all this effort in and because they had their heart in it, they did go ahead and win the championship. But they did so because they were prepared. They knew their foe. Do we know Satan? Do we know Satan? Do we know where he's going to get us? It's different for each Christian. Each of us are different. The Lord's made us different. And for each of us, we struggle in different areas. You know where you struggle and in what areas you struggle. Are you prepared with the Lord's help to stand when Satan attacks you with that struggle? Are you prepared? We see here that in order to do so, you must know your enemy. Let's look in verse 12. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Right here, we get a quick view of our enemy. The Lord gives us a quick preview of our enemy. It says, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood. I looked up the word wrestle. What does wrestle mean? And as I looked up what the word wrestle meant, it's a contest between two in which each endeavors to throw the other, which is decided when the victor is able to hold his opponent down with his hand upon his opponent's neck. Now I thought about that. We're in a battle with Satan, but it says we're wrestling. This means we're wrestling with the things that Satan is hurling at us. It's hand-to-hand combat. And as Satan is wrestling with us, God has already defeated our foe. But are we going in the Lord's strength? Do we have the Lord's whole armor as we fight him? Because if you don't, you're falling prey to falling to a temptation and losing a battle. The Lord has defeated Satan, and we don't have to lose any battles. So we see here that our opponent is wrestling with us. It's a hand-to-hand combat. But it says, we wrestle not against flesh and blood. It's basically saying, we're not wrestling against humans. It's very hard for us as Americans to be totally prepared for a terrorist attacks. Why is that? Well, we don't know when they will attack. We don't know exactly where they might attack. And because of that, it's very hard to be on the defensive against the terrorist because you don't know. You don't know where they will pop up. You don't know what they will use for their next act of terrorism. You just don't know. And it's very hard to defend against that. And we see here in the Christian life that it's very hard to defend to war against Satan. Because Satan is not a human being. You can't look Satan in the eye and say, oh, I'm warring with you. No, it's a spiritual battle. And so you may not always see your foe, but he is there. Are you prepared to fight him? As we go into the verse, we see that we're not fighting against humans, so it's hard because we don't see them face to face. But the Lord has given us the strength in where we can overcome him. If we continue reading in verse 12, he says, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual darkness in high places. We've seen that it's harder to fight an enemy that you can't see. And this is the type of enemy which we are fighting. It said principalities. I looked that up. That means the first in rank. It's basically referring to Satan, principalities. He is in charge of this world. Satan is the god of this world. And with it, he bids his demons to do his work. He has already lost the battle, but Satan wants to pull down as many people as he can with him going to hell. Yes, he's lost, but he doesn't want to see one person come to know Christ as his Savior. And if he sees the Lord's conviction in somebody's heart, he's going to be one of the first people to go there and try to work on his heart and to say, oh, you don't need to get saved. That's not important. Because Satan doesn't want to see people come to know Christ as Savior. And once they do know Christ as Savior, Christ doesn't want to see a Christian on fire living for God. If he sees that, he's going to be coming at you with everything that he's got. It's okay if you're a Christian and you're not serving God. You're okay. Satan's going to leave you alone. It doesn't matter. He's got you where he wants you. You are not being effective for the Lord's work. That's where Satan wants you. That's where Satan wants me. But that's not where we have to live. We can live a victorious Christian life as we war with the Lord's strength and help. So we've seen that he's the principalities. Satan is the king of it. But it also says powers. Powers means the authority of government. Satan also has his hand in the power of government. And that can be seen if we were to look back to the book of Daniel. In Daniel chapter 10, in Daniel chapter 10 and verse 12, then said he unto me, fear not, Daniel, for from the first day thou didst set thy heart to understand and to chasten thyself before thy God, thy words were heard, and I am come from thy words. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 21 days. But lo, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, and I remained there with the kings of Persia. We see Daniel had been praying for almost a month that the Lord would come. And the angel says, I would have come to you sooner, but the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 21 days. We see here that Satan has power he has control of governments. He's using them in the way in which he thinks he can defeat more people. So we've seen that Satan is in the principalities. He's a power. But it also says rulers of the darkness of this world in high places. This is referring to Satan's crew of demons. When it says high places, it means the celestial. They are warring with God's angels as well. And we see that in that passage with Daniel, that Michael had to come and help fight so that this messenger could come and help Daniel and give him the interpretation of the vision that he had. So we see here that this is a very real thing. So many people paint our enemy as a fake somebody, a devil with horns. But that's not the case. Satan is very wise. Remember, he took on the form of a serpent when he deceived Eve in the garden. He's very cunning and very deceiving. If he were to take on the form of a person, if you were to look at him, you would say, wow, he looks pretty nice. He looks pretty sharp. So often, some of your salesmen are the slickest men around on the world. They're able to slip you something, but they look good. They look sharp. And their spiel is just right, and it just gets in, and it twists you just enough where you want to get that thing. But they look sharp. They look, and because of that, you let your guard down. Even so, this is the way Satan likes to go at Christians. He likes to come up, and he likes to look like an angel of light. The Bible says that he does this. It's hard enough to fight a foe in which it's hard to see. But then a foe that makes themselves look like they're one of you, that's a whole nother battle in which we have to face. But notice it says the rulers of darkness of this world. We serve the ruler of light. We serve the God of heaven. And God has given us the strength and the power to overcome Satan. Even though he throws on the cloak of a saint at times, to be able to get in and to be able to ruin a Christian's life, God has given us everything that we need to be able to stand against that. So now that we've been able to see our foe, we've been able to, first we saw the qualifications for being in the Lord's army. Now that we've seen our foe, it's not human, it's a spiritual foe in which we fight against. And one which likes to deceive of who it really is. Now let's look at the armor of God. You know what? If a soldier were to go into battle, and as he were to go into battle, he's like, look it, I have this M16. I don't know how to use it, but I have it. You'd say, what a foolish person. And even so for us, it's foolish for us to go into battle with the whole armor of God with not knowing what it is and knowing how to use it. And so God is going to go through, and he's going to give us a list of the armor in which he has given us. But before he does this, look at verse 13. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. When God repeats himself, it's something serious that we need to make mention of, take notice of. Look at the verse that we started with. Look at verse 11. But put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Now look again at verse 13. Wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. See how they're similar? God is trying to get a point across to us. We need to have the whole armor of God so that we can stand up against the wiles of the devil. We need to have God's strength to be able to do this. God mentions it twice because it's very important that we get this. So he mentions it twice, and now he begins to tell us about the armor in which he has given us. And we begin to see the armor in which he's given us in verse 14. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having the breastplate of righteousness. The first part of the armor of God that he mentions is having your loins girt about with truth. This is having a belt. I looked up what a Roman soldier would wear for his equipment. His belt was very essential to the Roman soldier because a Roman soldier used his belt for a few different things. He used it to put his sword in it. He also used it to put his dagger on the other side. And sometimes he would use his belt to help put his tunic so that it would not get in the way while he was in battle. So the belt was a very important part for a Roman soldier. And even so in the Christian battle, having our loins girt about with truth, or having the belt of truth, well, what is this? The belt of truth is being equipped with the knowledge of the truth, being equipped with the knowledge of God's Word. Do you know God's Word? Are you able to use it in a time of battle? Why do I need to use God's Word in a time of battle? If we were to hop over into the New Testament and we were to look at Jesus during the temptations in the wilderness, each time Satan came at him with something, as he hurled the dart at him, what did Jesus come back with? He came back with Scripture. If you know you struggle in an area of sin, go to God's Word. See what God has to say about it. Then as you see what God has to say about it, memorize those verses. In Psalm 119, it says, hide God's Word within mine heart, that I might not sin against Him. This is one way that we are to be armed for the Lord. We are to know God's word so that we can be armed to withstand the wiles of the devil. So the first thing we saw was to have your loins girt about with truth. In the second part of verse 14, and having the breastplate of righteousness. I looked at the breastplate. They normally wear a piece of leather underneath it, and then they would have the breastplate put on. It would come on top, and then it would be tied in the back. And this breastplate covered the stomach, your vital organs, your sides, and your back. This is covering you so that you can make it through the battle. And the breastplate of righteousness, and you need to have the breastplate of righteousness as we go to fight our foe. Well, how do I have the breastplate of righteousness to defeat the foe that we have? By living righteously, or to have a godly testimony. Do you have a godly testimony? If we were to go and we were to ask someone, if we were to go up and say, does Roger Brainerd have a godly testimony? Does Mr. Van Riper have a godly testimony? If we were to go up and ask somebody who knows us, what would their answer be? Because the Bible says here that we are to have the breastplate of righteousness on. We are to live a godly example for others. This is part of the armor of God in which He has given us. We are to live a godly life. So we've seen that we need to have our loins girded about with truth. We need to have the breastplate of righteousness. Let's look on down to verse 15. And your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. The Roman soldiers had sandals made just for them. There was holes at the bottom of their sandals, almost there were little spikes in them almost. It helped give them better balance, and it helped them to be able to stand firm when they were in battle, so their footing wouldn't slip, so that they could be prepared, whatever was coming their way, that they could be able to fight off, and that they could have a firm foundation to stand upon because of the shoes in which they had. And even so, we need to be ready to give the gospel to anyone at any time. This is what having our shoes shod with the gospel, with a preparation of the gospel. Preparation means prepared, ready always to give an answer. As Christians, it is our job to share the gospel. What's the gospel? The good news. What's the good news? Jesus died on the cross for the sins of the world. He rose again the third day. If you believe Him and you repent of your sin, you can go to heaven. That is the good news. And having our feet shod with the preparation of peace, of the gospel. It's being ready at any time to share the gospel with those that we come in contact with. It's funny how we come in contact with so many people, we don't even realize it. We come in contact with grocery clerks. We come in contact with people that are working at the gas station. If you're flying, you come in contact with tons of different people. Are you sharing the gospel with them? We have the Yak baseball program. Hundreds of unsaved people are going to be here at the ballpark. Do we have our feet shod with the preparation of the gospel? Are we ready to share the gospel with those people? That's the command that the Lord has given to all those who know Him as Savior, is to share the gospel of Christ with others. Do you have your feet shod with the gospel of peace? Let's look in verse 16 at our next piece of equipment. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. The shield was a very important part of a Roman soldier's equipment. The Roman soldiers had they were square and they were long. They were able to make such advances with their army because of this. What they would do is they would put shield to shield to shield, so you would have a big wall of shields coming at you. And they would march with their shields like this into the enemy. The enemy is walking towards them, but because the shields are over the top of each other like this, when they're shooting their arrows, when they're throwing their javelins, they're just bouncing off. They would also have another set of guys that would be carrying their shields above their heads. That'd be connected right there. This would be for to stop from the archers that would be back on the enemy side that would have lit arrows, and they would have shot these arrows up above the heads to kill the infantry that's coming in. So they're using this shield to protect themselves from the whatever the enemy is throwing at them. God has given us the shield of faith to protect us from whatever the devil decides to throw at us and to throw our way. And this is a very important part. It says at in the middle of verse 16, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Whatever is thrown your way, if you are using the shield of faith, it says all. It doesn't say most of the darts that Satan's going to hurl at you. It says all. The Lord has equipped us so that we can withstand Satan. And if we use that, the shield of faith, well, what is the shield of faith? The shield of faith is holding on to the promises that are found in God's Word by faith. Some of these promises are what's able to help us get through in tough times. It's able to help us get through when it seems like there's no way to get through. It helps us get through those trials that Satan comes and sends our way. We see here that we can use this if we use the shield of faith, which is found in God's Word, God's promises. Not only that, as we continue reading in verse 17, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. We see here that we are to take the helmet of salvation. Helmet of salvation. What is salvation? We've already covered this. Salvation is repenting of your sin, turning to the Lord as your personal Savior. The Roman soldier would wear the helmet. It would cover the back of his neck so his neck couldn't get cut off. It also came down here over his face so that that he couldn't get a part of his cheek whacked out. And we have a helmet that the Lord gives us, which is the helmet of salvation. We never have to be defeated by the Lord, by Satan. But not only that, the Lord gives us a sword to use. Look at the end of verse 17. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Now this sword is not the sword that we're thinking about that you normally think of, the Roman sword. The Roman sword was much longer. It would be on this side. But the word that the word sword there, it means dagger. It means the small little sword. This was used in hand-to-hand combat to get in and to get at your opponent in that little spot in the armor and where there's a chink where you could get right in and defeat him. That's what that's used for. And our little dagger that we have is the Word of God. Jesus used it when he was in temptations. If we are to follow after Christ, then when we fall into temptations, we need to know Christ, God's Word, so that we can use the dagger in which he has given us and able to defeat our foe. We've seen the qualifications that you need to be a soldier of God. We've seen the enemy. We've seen the armor that the Lord has given us. Now let's look at a few tactics in which we can have for winning the fight. First, you need to focus on the battle which is set before you. In 2 Timothy 2, in chapter 2 and verse 3 and 4, thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Christ. No man that warreth entangle himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. As a soldier, you're going to have hard times that are going to fall upon us. But a good soldier doesn't look at that. He's called to be a soldier, and he's focused on the battle that's set for him. You know what? As soon as we take our eyes off the battle, that's when Satan's able to say, ah, he's able to throw a dart, and he's able to get us to fall. Because we took our eyes off the battle. Remember Peter? He said, Lord, if that's you, allow me to walk on the water. And so the Lord calls him out. And Peter begins to walk on the water. But then what happens? Peter took his eyes off the Lord. He lost his focus. And he began to sink. But when he got his focus back on the Lord helped lift him up. and he was able to stand. We need to keep our focus as we're in this spiritual battle against the devil so that we can win and see spiritual victories in our lives. Not only that, but we need to be prepared to fight the devil. We need to be prepared to fight the devil. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 8 and 9. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour, whom resisteth steadfast in faith, knowing the same afflictions are accomplished in the brethren that are in the world. We see here, we need to be prepared. How do we get prepared for the spiritual warfare? Know God's word. Be ready for the things that Satan will be hurling at you. Be going in the Lord's strength. Don't be going on your own strength. And when you do this, you'll be able to see victory in your Christian life. And we're to constantly remember that we are in a spiritual warfare. We are to fight the good fight of faith and to lay hold on the life eternal, whereunto thou art called, and thou hast a profession, and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. This is Paul encouraging Timothy. Continue to keep fighting. Paul's about to die. He's about to be put to death. And what are his last words to Timothy? Fight the good fight. How are you doing today? Are you using the whole armor of God? Are you using just part of it? Are you going in the Lord's strength? Are you going in your own strength? Are you sure? Are you aware of the battles that you're facing? Because at the end of this life, when we pass on, we want to be able to say, as Paul has said, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Can we as good Christian soldiers at the end of the day say, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. The Lord has given us everything that we need to defeat the devil. Are we using what he's given us? Let's pray. Dear Lord, I thank you for this opportunity to look in your word. You've shown us that the warfare that in which we war is real. And you've shown us that we need your strength to be able to defeat our foe. We need your armor to defeat our foe. But we don't fight a lost battle, but you are the victor. And pray that you would allow us to be able to see victories in our Christian life by using the armor that you have given us in our daily walk with you. In your name, amen.